Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of TBD Adult. I'm your host, Sarah Moore. It's been a while since we've connected on here. I've been super busy getting prepared for finals, as well as just celebrating the holidays, so a few weeks have gone by, but fear not, I am back now. So this week, I am joined by a very special guest. Her name is Sam, and a lot of you may actually know her as the Sam Plan on Instagram.
Hi, everybody. Hello.
Hi. I'm so excited to have you on this episode.
I'm very excited to be here, and you know, I appreciate you for having me on and allowing me to, you know, further share my story.
Yes, super excited. So actually, about a few months ago, I was on my Instagram Explore page and I came across your page. And one of the things that really caught my eye was that you have such a positive mindset when it comes to food consumption as well as body image. And as for myself, and I'm sure for a lot of other people listening, food and body image can sometimes be one of the most difficult struggles we face as young adults, especially at least for me as a young woman. So when I found your account, I was just so excited about the content that you create. So would you like to share a little bit about your story with the listeners?
I would love to. Every time I tell the story, I try and make it a little, not different, but touch on different things. And I think, you know, stating first and foremost, I have been in the shoes of so many people. And that's something that has been so profoundly overwhelming to me on social media is how many messages I get from women telling me that they've experienced something similarly traumatic that I went through as a kid and into, you know, my teen years and early adulthood as it relates to body image and feeling inadequate in the home that I have and, you know, trying to figure out the right foods to eat for whatever my goal was that week. And mostly my goal growing up was to lose weight. And a lot of that came from huge insecurities of being a bigger kid at an earlier age and having adults like coaches and medical professionals tell me to my face, you know, not even just to my parents, that my weight was too high or I needed to exercise more. And I was a kid, I loved movement and I loved running around and I loved food. And eventually I grew out of it, but I didn't grow out of the insecurity that those memories, those traumatic memories, I call them now, like they really are, because I can get emotional just thinking about my emotional response back then to the words that they said to me and the way that they said them. And it's just such a common thread that I've seen with so many women and how heavy of an impact it has on them later in life, how they see themselves and their relationship with food. Because if you grow up thinking that food is the enemy and it's the source of all of your problems or your inactivity or doing too little or whatever it may be, like that has a really strong impact on you. And in my later teens, I developed an eating disorder. I carried that for probably 10 years and went to treatment. It was never inpatient, but I did seek help at some point, not really per my desire. My parents were like, you need to do this. This is not okay. And I knew it wasn't okay too, but you know, if you're in that position, you tend to make excuses and think that you're in control when you're really not. Right. And eventually went to college. I pursued an education in nutritional science, got my master's in kinesiology and sport nutrition, and really placed a lot of emphasis in performance, athletics. I've always wanted to be more of an athlete or to look like an athlete. And so I felt like that was the route that was, in a way, going to help me get there, but also help me help other people as well. So that's really kind of the later part of this bigger story. And even through that education, there's so many, you know, rules and, you know, this is what's optimal, but it may not be the most realistic. So I've really had to personally work through like, hey, this is the best you can do possibly on this planet, but is it realistic for you to put in that much effort, that much time, and sacrifice all of these other things in order to have the most perfect diet or to have the most perfect exercise program? And at what point does it start costing you more than it's benefiting you. So that's really been my more recent exploration of maybe I don't have to be perfect, because trying to be perfect is actually stealing what I'm trying to fulfill. And so that's really, I guess, my big focus now is how can I be the happiest, be the healthiest, and have like the most fulfilled life possible, and not necessarily be the best in any of those different things. Like really it's about the collaboration of all of them to create the highest amount of happiness possible and really enjoy the one and only life that I'm given.
I really love that. And going back to the point that you made about how you receive lots of messages from different women and their experiences and hearing things, especially when they're younger. So a little bit about me and what really drew me to your content, like I was saying earlier, was when I was in high school, I did beauty pageants. And obviously when coming to beauty pageants, there is a lot of stigma and specific and ideal body types and styles that it focuses on. And when I started, I was 16 years old. And now as an almost 21-year-old woman, my body compared to 16 years old is obviously very different, just from hormones and chemical balances and everything else that goes on inside of you, obviously. And I think one of the things that was really hard as I've gotten older and now in college and stuff was always wanting to go back and compare my body to how I looked when I was 16. And so when I saw your content and how you've showed like pictures of your body at different stages and stuff, I found that really like comforting and inviting to like be a part of and like share and enjoy, because it's true, like your body really goes through different changes at different stages of your life.
Totally. And I bet you if I asked that 16-year-old version of yourself whether or not you were happy with your body, you would probably be up in arms with how unhappy you were. And I think we all have that retrospective kind of assessment of, I was so unhappy in that body. And now I look back and I'm like, there was nothing for you to be unhappy about, right?
Right.
And that's a perspective that I think we can even take in now in this body that we're sitting here having this conversation with and say, in 10 years, am I going to look back and wish that I had this strong, capable body rather than picking it apart every second of every day? And I think that that's something that can help you transform your mindset and your body image, is just knowing that, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the way that you look. And I think saying that and believing it can be completely two very different things. But, you know, knowing that in 10 years, like what you're capable of now, you might not be capable of even tomorrow. So being grateful and expressing gratitude is a really, really strong practice on a daily basis, and something that I think we can all spend more time doing. And, you know, it takes a long time to work through a lot of the trauma that we go through. And I'm sure being in a pageant and having people pick you apart in a sense, and whether you won or you lost, I'm sure a part of you believed it was because of the way that you looked in mm-hmm. some aspect. And that can be super traumatic. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about your experience and if that's changed even how you see yourself now, and if you're able to separate yourself from that sport and mm-hmm. the quality of, like, I guess, how you present yourself in a competition like that.
Yeah. So one of the things, like you were saying, thinking about, is it because of my body? Is it because of the way that I looked? One of the things that when I was in pageants that I was really concerned with was actually comparing my body to the other girls I was competing against. And which is crazy to think about, because we were literally pretty practically all the same size. But in my head, the way that I looked at myself was, oh, I'm not as good as these other girls, or my body's not as nice as theirs, or whatever it was going through my mind at the time. And honestly, like, I met really great, strong women in pageant. Like, I did meet really great people, but overall, if I was to go back and try and do it now, I personally don't think it's something that I would want to do, just because of how poorly, like, I did look at myself. And going to now, like you were saying, taking not taking your body for granted and being thankful for what you're able to do now. Because like, I look back, my freshman year of college, like I was in a really dark place. I was not taking care of myself. I let my health and body go to absolute crap. And so looking back and just seeing where I am now, 2 years later versus again, 2 years ago, how much more that I take time and effort and put into myself to make myself happy. Like, I recently joined a gym a couple months ago, which for me, that's like a big thing. I don't have a super healthy relationship with exercise. But anyways, like, I joined a gym for myself because I was like, I want to give my body some form of movement, especially since school's all online and everything like that. But knowing that I'm doing it for myself made it so much more rewarding. And I was doing it for how I feel rather than how I looked.
Totally. And I mean, a couple things that I do want to bring up about that is, I think when you're in a pageant type environment, or maybe you're a swimmer and your body's exposed, we're naturally going to like be in a place of just comparison. And that's normalized in a way almost by the way that we speak to ourselves in front of other people. I remember, you know, being a swimmer and saying like, hate how my fat comes out of, you know, these like tight seams or whatever, right? Like, you kind of normalize those conversations with other people, and then you have them more often or whatever. And then you normalize even restrictive eating, like, oh, so-and-so eats this many calories per day. Like, I'm going to do that because she looks great. And you know, those are types of behaviors that are so toxic. And again, like, they're normalized in our environments. It's so normal to hear, and it's very unfortunate, obviously, it's so normal to hear about women, girls, young girls eating so few calories. And it's almost not, it's, people aren't worried when they hear that, which is the most worrying part, right? Yeah. As a parent, as a friend, as even a healthcare provider, like, are sometimes placing people on very, very restrictive, low calorie diets. Mm-hmm. And they don't think that there's anything wrong with that. And I think, you know, myself and maybe you too, like, we're living proof of how dangerous and toxic that can be. And I don't know how severe your behaviors became with competing in a very body aware and kind of, you know, mm-hmm. I guess like dressed up way and competing and putting that to the forefront. But I know it had a really negative effect on me, and I'm sure it does in so many people.
Absolutely. So going into, changing gears a little bit, but going into the content that you create specifically on your Instagram platform, how would you describe this content that you produce, and like, what is the goal of it in everything that you create?
So it's funny that you like put it in such a context where it's like producing content and creating and things like that, which is awesome. I think that it's definitely a generous way to to describe what I do, but I really just try and post real stuff on social media, myself eating a burger and expressing moments in my life that are really hard for me to admit or to be vulnerable about. And really, it's a release for me. And that's what I found from the very beginning. I didn't get on Instagram hoping to make it a full-time job or anything like that. Like, I had no ambitions whatsoever to do so, but it's been so freeing for me to just say things and get them out of my head and to have the positive feedback from other people, you know, sharing with me that it's, that I'm not alone, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think that's something that's been super freeing for me as well. And also getting outside of diet culture and recognizing that, you know, I can have all of the things that I once told myself I couldn't if I just removed this barrier of restriction and just see how my body responds instead of avoiding things in fear, right? Yeah. So it's been super therapeutic for me to be on this page and to be able to share my story and to be able to share my education as well, because I think where I'm at now is a collaboration of what I've gone through and my pursuit of education in nutrition, in fitness, and be able to share what a healthy relationship with fitness and a healthy relationship with food can look like for people, especially people who don't have a concept of what that can look like.
Right. And I think what you're doing is you're really fostering a healthy community for individuals to look at something that, like you said, shows that you can have, in a sense, the best of both worlds. Like, you don't need to feel restricted in order to still have a healthy and happy lifestyle.
Exactly. And one thing that you experienced that I kind of forced myself into was this period of time where I just let go. And that was kind of like your freshman year of college. Like, you just, your routines changed. You had different amounts of stress, different, you know, places you had to be, and you were living by yourself. And, you know, all of these different changes really pushed your health and fitness and nutrition out the window, which probably led for you to eat out more and to, you know, eat more foods and things like that. And you felt like shit. And yeah. I went through a very similar phase where I was like, listen, I'm going to let go of all restriction. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to eat to satiety. And what happens, happens, because I know that at the end of this phase, and I didn't give myself a specific time, but I knew that if I trusted this process, I was going to feel exactly how you're feeling or how you felt a couple of years ago of like, I feel awful. What are the things that help me feel better? Well, movement helps me feel better. I know it's going to suck to get started again and start actually making that more of an intentional practice, but that does make me feel better. And then, you know, what kind of foods help me feel better too? It's not eating a burger every day or for every meal. Like, that's not going to help me feel great. Like, what are the elements of my previous routines that really are going to help me elevate my health and wellness so that I can amplify my life and it doesn't start to control it again?
Yeah, absolutely. You made a good point about like finding what's right for you and your body and everything. So like for myself, sometimes I get into those good momentums of where I'm eating really healthy, I'm exercising really well, but I'm one of those people that I don't really like routine. I like things to be a little bit sporadic or like spontaneous. Yeah. So starts becoming too routine and things start feeling too similar, I end up falling off of it. So how do you keep things fresh and new when it comes to working out and your like food intake?
So I think I am very similar with you in terms of in a movement perspective. I used to really enjoy things being very routine, following a classic bodybuilding body type split. Like, that was my jam maybe 4 years ago, but now the concept of doing that is just like so fatiguing. I'm like, no way. Like, that's too ritual for me. Like, I like to mix things up. What if I miss a day? Is that going to throw things off? So I can't go into fitness at this point in my life and have that structured routine because it just doesn't really flow well with my year-round lifestyle.
Yeah.
So what I do now is I implement F45, which is kind of a high intensity interval training group workout. So I'll even do those on YouTube. They're a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It holds me a little bit more accountable to doing things like throughout an entire like 45 minute period. And then I also do go back to my bodybuilding roots of strength training and feeling really good doing a squat and loading a barbell or deadlifts. And again, loading a barbell, like I really just focus on what's going to feel good, but I also implement, you know, my education in there too. And I know when I need to work on mobility and I know when I need to work on flexibility and I need to, you know, make sure I'm reducing any risk of injury and doing single limb movements. So I implement such a variety of things and I'm not tied to any one thing. And that kind of goes back to like when I was in grad school specifically, I had this, okay, this is what's optimal for my goals. And so I did that. I implemented a bodybuilding split and I did my low intensity cardio because my goal was to compete as a bodybuilder. I wanted to be successful in that world. And now my goal is to enjoy movement. So that's very different from having a physique-oriented goal. And if I'm enjoying movement, that can be in any form. That can be me going for a walk. That can be me doing F45. It could be me going to the gym and, you know, just doing squats. You know, it can be such a variety of things. And what makes me feel good is just putting some time to myself to get out of my head, because that's really what I'm able to do when I work out, is have that release of tension and focus on just being present in the moment, which is something that can be really challenging for a lot of people and is for myself.
Yeah, definitely. I really like that though, that like being present in the moment and like focusing on what feels good, because I think a lot of people get concerned with, oh, I did this day, this the next day. Oh my goodness, I fall out of my routine. But it's like, is your body really enjoying what you're doing? Like, is it helping you in some way or form? Or are you just doing it because you think this is what's right, quote unquote?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, the biggest question anyone can ask themselves is, what do I want to get out of this? You know, like for you specifically, why are you working out? Like, what's the point? And again, for me, it's to enjoy it and to make this a lifestyle. If my goal was to lose fat and get shredded, I would have a more specific, rigid way of training that would not be long-term for me, because it would be more restrictive. It wouldn't implement F45. Not to say that that couldn't be a part of your weight loss program. It just wouldn't be the most optimal way for my body type to achieve that goal. So again, that would be so restrictive, not incredibly restrictive, but it would put me into a negative space with fitness where I'm trying to avoid that, because again, my goal now is just to have fun with it and to enjoy it, because I've been in a place where I've overdone it and I've hated going to the gym. And that was a really sad experience for me, because at one point previously, it had been my escape and my therapy.
Yeah. So when you're talking about like your weight loss, like people's weight loss journey, if that's their goal, at least for me personally, I feel like in today's society, having that ideal body type is kind of like what a lot of people are striving for when they go to exercise. So for you, how do you face society's concept of like what an ideal body is, or like how do you handle negative like talk about body image?
That's tough, because I'm never going to tell someone you're wrong. You know, if someone's like, hey, like I want this, like this is going to make me happy, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but I don't believe that that is the answer to your happiness and the answer to your pursuit of confidence in your body. That's my perspective and that's what I've experienced, but I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. Again, not how I see the world. I think, you know, I had that perspective myself, and it took me sacrificing so much in my life, so much happiness and so much of my health to get to a place where I was so lean and I was finally at that, you know, kind of end goal that I was looking for, and I was still unsatisfied. So my experience changed my perspective on what I was looking for and what I used the gym for, what I used food for. And that was able to change my perception on what I was doing and what I was looking for. And maybe you have to go through that yourself. I'm certainly not someone who believes everything I hear. I'm someone who wants to experiment and see for myself. So maybe, you know, I hope that that's not the case for everybody. And I hope that, you know, me sharing my experience allows for others not to have to live my mistakes and to have to sacrifice so much to get that clarity. But, you know, you can be happy, you can be healthy, and you can love your body without sacrificing a lot of things. It's just going to take you a lot longer to get there. And it's not going to be a quick fix. It's not going to be eliminating carbs. It's not going to be eliminating fat. It's not going to be training one specific way. It's more so finding the collaboration of eating whole, nutritious foods, knowing what your body needs, and filling in those needs with foods, supplements, whatever you need to get there, and then moving your body in a way that feels good and is enjoyable for you, but also is taking care of the things that can allow for longevity. So I always like to make the point of like, yes, going to yoga is fantastic, but when it comes to longevity of your bones and reinforcing like joints, that's something that resistance training, like specifically weights or even using bands, can have a huge complementary factor to allowing your body to be the healthiest it can be for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. So I do always recommend an element of resistance training, because it is just so good for your body. It doesn't mean you're going to the gym and you're lifting five times your body weight. Like, that is pretty extreme. It means, you know, using dumbbells and weighting your body in a way that it is not naturally weighted outside of the gym.
Yeah. I think that's important that you noted that there's different aspects of each different area of exercise that are considered to be good and healthy and happy that are all things that you can implement into your lifestyle. Because I think a lot of times people get stuck into these ruts and routines where it's this one thing and it's this one thing only, and that's all I can do.
Totally. And for a lot of people, they'll try something for a few weeks, and if they don't see that initial progress, it can completely deter them from pursuing it long term. And that's the hardest thing as someone who coaches and really tries to educate on these topics, is you'll lose people if they don't see the change that they want, because they will assume that it's not working for them. Like, they are the problem, when really it's just time. Like, we're so impatient. We're instant gratification generation, and we want things to happen now. And that's one thing that I've learned to develop over time, I think, is patience. I mean, I still lack patience in certain things. If I'm waiting in line at the grocery store, I'm not the happiest camper. But patience is something that is so valuable in this journey that, I mean, essentially it's just life, and understanding that quick fixes are only going to create a cycle that you will only discontinue when you stop looking for those quick fixes.
Right. So when talking about like your healthy mind, healthy body journey, for someone who's starting this for the first time and really trying to figure out what's going to work for them and what they should be doing, what would you say is one thing that they should look for or focus on or put attention into when they first start?
So one thing that I have always neglected, I would say from the earliest memory I have of dieting until the last diet I ever did, was I completely neglected my mindset and didn't spend enough time really in thought each day. I would spend plenty of time meal prepping. I would spend plenty of time working out, but I just didn't spend enough time really being thoughtful throughout my day. So if there's one thing that you can implement on a daily basis, I would recommend journaling. My journaling looks significantly different than it did when I first started. Now it's more so getting thoughts on paper, setting a timer for even 5 minutes, and just jotting down what's on my mind and seeing what comes out. Previously, when I started, I did follow journal prompts. And I mean, you can do a Google search and search body positivity journal prompts or healthy mindset journal prompts. Like, there's so much out there that's for free. So I don't feel like you need to necessarily follow one prompt specifically, but there's so much value in understanding who you are, why you are the way that you are. And that is a product of being deep in thought and spending time getting to know yourself, not just focusing on changes aesthetically or what you're getting out of things from a physiological standpoint, but who are you going to become in this process is the big, I guess, like, big ticket win. Is if you can realize that it's not about that destination. Like, once you get there, let's say you lose 10 pounds, let's say you gain 10 pounds of muscle, like, who have you become? It's not the body you're in, it's the person you're becoming through that process. And if you can reflect on that in a more internal way each day, it is going to cultivate the greatest and most profound outcome that maybe you weren't even intentionally looking for.
Yeah, I really love that you said it's not the destination, because a lot of things in my life, I feel like one of the phrases that I always go to is it's a journey, not a destination. So it's the whole progress of getting there. And just because like you get there, that doesn't mean you're going to end up being satisfied. But I feel like if you're satisfied along the way and proud of yourself for making progress and sticking to it and doing the things that you need to do to make yourself feel healthy, happy, and positive, then I feel like you're going to appreciate the whole process a lot more and like really find that centered and groundedness that you were looking for.
Totally. I mean, you hit the nail on the head for sure. And I mean, that's something that can just fill you up with so much positivity on a daily basis. And one thing that I like to kind of think about is I cannot foresee what the best version of myself looks like. If I could see that person, I know it's, I'm not dreaming big enough, right? Like that's almost putting limits on what I'm capable of, because my greatest version is so outside of my imagination. Like I know I can be so great in so many different ways, right? And I mean, that's an extreme sense of confidence that I'm sure my parents instilled in me at a very young age. But you know, like you don't have to be able to see the outcome to know that there's better out there for you and to be in pursuit of that.
I love that. I think that's a really healthy way to look at it, because like you said, if you can see it, then you're not dreaming big enough. And I love that.
Totally. And then what do you have to work for, right? Like I've been in that position where I'm like, okay, here's my goal. And then you get there and you're like, well, now what? Right? And you're like almost dissatisfied because you had this goal, you achieved it. And you're like, well, shoot, now what do I do? Right? Like there's always going to be greater out there. And that's what you should shoot for. It's not the next stage. I mean, that's a great short-term goal, but it's not the end game, right? Like it's continuation of just evolving into the greatest version of yourself and the healthiest version. Of course, like that's very important to that longevity of allowing yourself to develop over time.
It kind of gives me like that, I don't know why, but it gives me the image of like a little hamster running on a wheel. The hamster's running, he makes a full rotation, and what does he have to do next? Make another full rotation, and he just keeps going and going and going. And I feel like that's kind of what you're doing when you get to your goal. You're like, oh, I got it. Okay, now what's next? Do I make another goal? But am I going to be happy once I get there? Am I still going to feel like I need to do something else, you know?
Absolutely. It's kind of, you know, just imagine if that hamster got outside of the wheel and he was able to run like in a different direction or go somewhere else, right? Like you have to be so open to the direction that your journey can take, because it's often those directions that are, you weren't intending to go on, but they've created an even, you know, far outside of your imagination product that you couldn't even, you know, have dreamt to have achieved.
Definitely. So now getting to where you are and the process that you've all got, that you've gone through, if you could go back and tell your younger self any piece of advice regarding like health, fitness, or body image or mental space, anything along those lines, what would it be?
Oof, that's so hard. You know, I think like some of my darkest moments were when I was really in the thick of my eating disorder, and I would just lay in bed and I would think to myself, like, you know, I'm going to do better tomorrow. Like I can't keep living like this. This is, you know, so bad for me. Like I know I need to do better. And if I could go back to that person and just tell her with confidence that you're going to get out of this, you're going to find the answer. And just to, you know, everything's going to be okay. I think that would be the most powerful thing that I could do. I think going back way back to my early childhood, and you know, I think no matter what you tell a kid, they're not going to believe you. So if I was to go back to that person, you know, at 8, 9, 12, whatever, and say, you know, your outside doesn't matter, and you know, it's what's on the inside counts, like I would have been like, whatever, right? Like I think I did have to experience what I did to be where I am now. So I think that would have fallen on deaf ears. But again, like the darkest point, you know, when I was, and this is like very like ED warning, if you're suffering with an eating disorder, like I would gorge myself with food and I would force myself to throw up and I would lay in bed in so much pain and so much like internal anguish. And just, I like would sit there and be like, I can't believe this is my life. I can't believe I'm living this day over and over. And I can't get out of this routine. And I think, you know, even now I get a little emotional about it, because it was so, like my emotions were so heightened. I felt so lost and I felt so alone in what I was going through, that if I just had somebody who knew what I was going through. So obviously if I could go back to that person and say, hey, like, I see you, I hear you. you're going to get out of this, you're going to be okay, that would have gone farther than anything that I could have told myself ever previously.
Yeah, I think that's really important too, because especially young girls, and I think a lot of people, especially in middle school and high school, they feel like when they're dealing with something, and possibly even college too, because I mean, we're still young, but I think a lot of people feel like what they're going through, nobody else is going through either. And so those moments of shame or guilt for eating something or not exercising or whatever, you keep it inside of you because you feel so, like, again, shameful or upset with yourself that you don't share it with anybody else. And I think sometimes it's like knowing at that moment when you're like, I need to reach out to someone, I need to find help. Because I think when you get there, it opens up a whole new world and a whole new possibility of somebody being able to be by your side and really, like, help you through and get you back to a point where you can flourish again and be happy.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's, I mean, another thing I would add to what I think I needed to hear at that time is, you know, you're not alone. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed, because shame and embarrassment were certainly two of the biggest feelings that I was experiencing. And to tell someone, be confident, be strong, just tell someone. That I think would have gone a really long way for me at that time.
Yes, definitely. And while we're on the topic of food consumption and eating disorders and everything else that kind of goes in that realm, as we both know, Thanksgiving just passed, and for many, like, the holidays can carry a really heavy stigma when it comes to food and food consumption. Do you have any advice for combating these negative feelings for the upcoming holidays?
Absolutely. I mean, I could think of probably 30 things that I could say, and they'd all be really helpful. But what I think has been helpful for me is to eliminate restriction, not just on a holiday, but in general, because the more you tell yourself you can't have that, you're going to build up the strong desire to eventually have that and to not be able to assess, like, moderation and be in this place where you just feel like you can't have a positive relationship with food, right? Restriction's never the answer. As a kid, I used to truly believe it's easier for me just not to have it than to try and eat in moderation. And as an adult, I can say that's a really interesting thing for me to say as a kid. I think I was like 16, 17 when I really believed that. And I started saying that as, like, it's easier for me, you know, not to have it. And I went vegan for a while, and that was my reason why. I was like, I can't have these things because I can't eat them in moderation. But it's like looking someone in the face and saying, don't look at me, right? Like, they're not going to close their eyes. They're going to keep looking at you because, like, I mean, you just want to now, right? Like, you cannot have this, like, I can't have that mentality, because if you do have it, you're going to feel bad about it. And if you don't have it, it's a false victory. Like, it's not going to be what you want it to be. It's going to create bigger problems down the road. So I would say, you know, remove restriction in general, and to practice eating, you know, and listening to your body as you eat. How is food making you feel? Instead of associating food with how you look, start really focusing on how food makes you feel. Mm-hmm. The other thing would be, and this is something that has been really helpful for me, is really work on experiencing food. So I think my family thinks I'm crazy, because even at Thanksgiving dinner, I was like, oh, like, what do you think of the stuffing? Like, what do you think of the mashed potatoes? Like, I love to have conversations about what I'm eating, because for a long time, it was a mindless task where I would sit in front of the TV and I would just shove food down my face. And you know, it was so mindless. It was almost like I would black out, and then I would come to and be like, oh shit. So that's something that has been really powerful for me. And I enjoy talking about food. I genuinely love food. Mm-hmm. And I want that to be an experience that enhances my life instead of something that takes away from my life. So using food to really amplify the life experience instead of, food is the enemy, right? Changing that relationship with how you see food and how you experience it can have a really positive effect. So that's one way that I make sure I'm enjoying food is I have those conversations. And it's always fun to find people who also enjoy food, because then you can have that back and forth. And my family's pretty good about it. We love talking about food. Like, one of our favorite things is like, oh, like, what's your favorite kind of cookie? Or like, what's your favorite dessert? We like go around and just talk about those things. And I think for so long, I've tried to make food about fueling my body and like, what's the best way to fuel my body, that I took away from that positive experience that it can have in social settings and cultural settings, and just in terms of like health and wellness. So I guess that, long story short, those are kind of the couple things that I would advise people to focus on.
I love that. The whole thing with it really enjoying food. So I'm definitely a foodie. Like, I love finding new places to eat, trying new foods, especially if it's cheesy. I am a sucker for cheese. But like, that whole concept of that food really does, like, when you enjoy it, it opens up like a bunch of different other things for you. Like you were saying, the social aspects, like, you now get to enjoy that with somebody else. And maybe that prompts some kind of positive conversation, or like going out and trying new things and expanding your horizons and just other things along those lines. So I really like that you said to focus on like enjoying food and not seeing it as the enemy, because that just opens up so many more opportunities for you.
Absolutely. And not to look at it with any ounce of regret, you know, make your choices and learn from them. If you had half of a pie at Thanksgiving, do you feel good? You know, like, really learn from those experiences instead of being like, oh shit, I had a half a pie at Thanksgiving. Like, but how do you feel? Like, do you feel okay? Cause that's great too. Like, if you feel awesome and you know, you were able to do that, like, what a great learning experience that you can have half of a pie and not feel like shit. Not to say you should do that all the time, but like, for someone who is super restrictive and maybe thought that even having a slice of pie was going to ruin their life, which, to be honest, like, it can feel that extreme sometimes. Yeah. Like, that's a really great learning opportunity for you to have things. And that's, you know, a big part of removing restriction. Go out, have a burger, have pie at Thanksgiving, and remove the fear associated with those things, because the more that you do them, the less fearful you will become that they will produce the outcome that you're scared to have happen.
Yes. And to end on a positive note, I do see on your Instagram, you post like a lot of things about burgers. So like, what would you say if you could create like your ideal burger? Like, this is, I'm going to sink my teeth into it right now. What would be on it?
Oh, trust. I've had this conversation, well, many times. That's so funny. Well, first of all, it has to be a well-seasoned burger patty. That is the key to any high-quality burger. I also love a good pretzel bun, but if it is a pretzel bun, you have to have a like good pickle in there, like a strong pickle with a good crunch. I would say if I was limiting myself to like three ingredients, I would have to have pickles, mayonnaise, and ketchup. Would be like my three. And if you're having lettuce, it has to be shredded lettuce. That's another thing that like I've found to be like very important, because if you have a big leaf across your burger, it kind of takes away from the experience of like, oh, like now the lettuce is coming out. Now I have to reshift the burger. So those are kind of like my core things if I were to choose my favorite burger. But now you have to share yours, since you said you were a foodie.
Oh, yes. Okay. So when it comes to meat, I normally like my patties to be like thin. So like, I like a thin burger patty. Like I said, a huge cheese gal. So most likely if I can have an option, I like two cheeses. I love provolone and I love cheddar. Then I do like lettuce. I'm not a huge tomato person. Grilled onions, absolutely delicious. I don't want my pickle on the burger. I want it on the side, and it has to be a dill spear. So
You can eat with me any day. This is a great
Well, we'll go on a burger date.
I love it. And really fast, though, I would agree that it has to be a thinner, well-cooked burger.
Yes.
Because if it's too thick, then the ratios are off and it just doesn't work.
No, because like sometimes you bite into it and you're like, okay, was there any bread to go with this? Because I think I just bit into a giant patty or hockey puck of meat.
Right. And if that's your thing, great. But a lot of times, like the thicker the patty, it just doesn't, it's not as good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Is there anything else you would like to share before we conclude?
I want to say thank you for opening up your platform to me. I think that anytime we can address these very important topics and things that so many people go through, there's so much opportunity for people to benefit. So thank you so much.
Of course. So that is all we have for this week. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode, Sam.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. As always, if you would like to connect with myself or this podcast further, you can find me at SarahRMoore282 on Instagram, as well as the official podcast page, which is TBD Adult. If you would like to follow the amazing content Sam puts out, you can find her on Instagram at TheSamPlan. And thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week on TBD Adult.